on page 980 in the Pew Bibles, and we're reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 44, page 980. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
To keep your Bibles open in Matthew, we'll deal with verses 44 to 46 this morning, and if you're around this evening, from verse 47 to 52, I think it is, or 53, I can't remember, but it's 49, 53, that's right. I just want to say, before we get into the text, to say thank you so much for your partnership over the years, your continued support of our ministry through Alan and Debbie as a church. It is appreciated. I know that people are being reached, lives are being saved, and changed because of the gospel and because of our partnership. And if you want to do more, please come and speak to me afterwards. I'll happily give you a card and we can communicate. Okay, you are at Matthew. You can see that it's about value. So I wonder how you think of value. You know, value. So I value, for example, my wedding ring, this one. Now, I'm not one for sentiment, but I only realized how much I valued it when I thought that I'd lost it. I mean, I'll probably buy this one for about 300 rand. What's that? 12 quid? 15 quid? Yeah, something like that. That's all that it's worth, but it's of great value to me. And the reason it's of great value to me is because it belonged to my father. And when he died, I inherited it. We don't always put value and price together, do we? We generally take care of our valuables, though. And we would be very distraught if we had lost them. We'd think twice before voluntarily parting with them. Now, in these parables we're looking at this morning, Jesus is going to teach us that there is something far more valuable than our most prized possessions. And that thing that is far more valuable is none other than the kingdom of heaven. So will you pray with me as we get into our text? Father, we do thank you for your word to us, and thank you for this teaching on the kingdom of heaven. Help us understand its value. And once we do, give us the courage to leave all else behind for the sake of your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing Jesus teaches us in these parables is that God's kingdom is worth more than everything you own. God's kingdom is worth more than everything you own. Have a look at verse 44 again. Matthew writes, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field." Now, I'm told that back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for people to hide valuables in the ground, because Palestine then was a war-torn country, and not much different today. No banks, no safety deposit boxes. So it is possible to, while digging in a field, to find one of these treasures. The rabbis ruled that if you found a treasure in a field and you lifted it out of the ground, then the treasure belongs to the owner of the field. That was the rule. Now, Julian, you have a garden. Yes. Now, imagine you pitched up at Julian's home and you went to help him do his gardening. So you're digging and you're sorting out the flowers, and suddenly as you dig, there's a box. So no one's looking. You open the box. There's £1 million in it. Ooh. Who does it belong to? You found it. But it's Julian's garden. Well, if you took it out of the ground, well, now it belongs to Julian. However, if you left it in the ground, nobody knows it's there. What is a man to do? Find this great treasure in someone else's field? Well, firstly, don't lift it out of the ground. That's the first thing you don't do. But you'd have to buy the field in order to get the treasure. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's a valuable treasure that someone just happens to find. I want you to notice that this person in this parable is not a treasure hunter. He's not looking for treasure. He just seems to be randomly digging in a field. And he finds the treasure. He recognizes the value of the treasure. He makes a plan to get the treasure by buying the field. And the cost? Well, it costs him everything he owns. Everything he owns. Yet after giving up everything he owns to buy the field, he gets the treasure, which is something of infinitely greater value. See, this man thinks that everything he owns is fair exchange for the treasure. He thinks that everything he owns is fair exchange for the kingdom of heaven. So from that parable in verse 44, we learn that God's kingdom is worth more than the cost of being a disciple. God's kingdom is worth more than the cost of being a disciple. So Jesus here is most likely referring to the Gentiles, or all those who are not Jews. The Gentiles, remember, they're not expecting a promised Messiah. The Gentiles are not waiting for the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament that God makes. They are like the guy in the field who is just going about his business of digging in a field. And now Jesus, the Messiah, has arrived. And with Jesus arrives the kingdom of heaven. See, either they have now to believe that this man Jesus is the king of God's kingdom or he isn't. See, either Jesus ushers in God's kingdom or he doesn't. Either God's kingdom is valuable or it isn't. Now, it could be that you are not a believer here this morning and you've arrived as a visitor, school holidays, so you're visiting this part of the world, which is great, only expecting maybe to hear a sermon, maybe to see some friends and then to head off home. Maybe you were invited by a friend, and so you came, well, just to make them happy. You know, you got to do that once a year. Or maybe you're here because you heard that, well, there's a bishop preaching this morning, and he's rather good. Well, can I say how fortunate for you to be here this morning? Because you are like the guy digging in a field, and you've just happened to stumble across the kingdom of heaven. You have found this great treasure this morning, friends. You really have. And the treasure is the kingdom of heaven. And it's the most valuable thing you could ever find. That's what happened to me just over 27 years ago now at the University of Cape Town. I went on a Christian camp, which I was invited to by a girl, obviously. So to tell you the truth, the only reason I went was because of the girl. And I thought maybe it'll get me into good books and who knows what could happen, right? Because that's what guys do. Well, we never did get together, I have to be honest. However, that weekend, out of the blue, I wasn't looking for it. I heard about the kingdom of heaven. I heard that I was a sinner in need of saving. I heard that I could not save myself. Heard about Jesus, the fulfillment of all the promises of thousands of years. I heard that he died on a cross so that I could have my sin forgiven. He died so that I could be part of his kingdom, that is the kingdom of heaven, and spend eternity with him. And astonishingly, I was told it was for free. Nothing's for free in this world. There's nothing I could do to actually earn my way into the kingdom of heaven. And I have to be honest, because the more I listened, it just sounded more unbelievable. And then they'd explain more, and I go, it just sounds ridiculous. But then the more they explained, and the more unbelievable it sounded, the more I realized it was true. So I took the step of trusting in Jesus. But my newfound faith did not last very long. It lasted about 2 months. See, nobody ever told me about the cost. Because there is a cost. So I became a Christian and I carried on living the way I always did. And then realized and thought, well, this Christian thing is not really for me. Because there's a cost. And it will involve a change of lifestyle. However, I had a person who was discipling me one-on-one who nagged me and prayed for me and continued to pray for me and continued to teach me about the kingdom. And the more I learned about this kingdom, God showed me that his kingdom was worth the cost of being called one of his disciples. So I continued to trust in him. Now, as you hear about the kingdom this morning, as you hear about this free gift of forgiveness, you might be eager to jump in without first looking. But before you decide, friends, you need to know something. It is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. and it's going to cost you everything you own. Now, it's not that you can pay and buy your way into the kingdom. It doesn't work like that. But it does mean that you have to give up everything you value and value God's kingdom the most. That's what it means. But God's kingdom is worth more than the cost. So depending on who you are, depending on where you live, depending on what your history is, that cost will look very different. For example, in the Persian Gulf, there's tremendous pressure on Christians. If Muslims convert to Christ, they face ostracisms, beatings, torture, and sometimes death. Despite intense persecution, you might hear that the church in China is growing rapidly. Yet they have a lack of scriptures. They have a lack of well-trained pastors. Yet the church is growing. When Christians in North Korea are discovered, some are sent to labor camps to face horrifying conditions, and some just disappear. Now, those are extreme examples, we might think. But friends, it's happening throughout the whole world. You might not be in that situation here in London. Well, in Barkham, I should say. We're becoming a Christian. We're becoming a follower of Jesus will cost you that much. Yet in those parts of the world, the church is growing. People are still becoming followers of Jesus despite the persecution. You've got to ask, why? Why would you do that? And I can guarantee you this, if you were to ask them, they would probably say something like this: the cost of being a disciple is worth far more with the price I have to pay. So as you think about your circumstances here in Barkham, do we think like that? For some, it costs families. It costs family relationships because, friends, Jesus will not have any rivals. I have an uncle who is Muslim, my dad's brother. And it is clear from the scriptures that he does not believe the same things about Jesus that I do. He does not believe that Jesus died or rose again. He does not believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Therefore, he does not worship Jesus as God. That means that my uncle and I, we don't serve the same God. See, I don't know who he serves, but it's not God. My aunt, she's Hindu. So we also don't believe the same things about Jesus. She believes that Jesus is one of the other 30 million choices that you have. We don't believe that. The Bible is clear that Jesus is the one and only God. I have other family members who are very religious, but are not Christians. As a result, except for my one sister, who became a Christian 2 years ago, I don't have any close family relationships as I'd like to, except for my sister. I can't just accept everything that my family believes because Jesus won't let me. And it's cost the relationship. Friends, there is a cost involved if you decide to be a disciple of Jesus. Because if you are his disciples, it means you follow him. It means he now sets the agenda for the way we live. See, are you willing to give up everything for the sake of the kingdom? Do you consider God's kingdom, do you consider it a treasure? The most valuable of treasures. And if you do, then the question is this: does your life reflect those kingdom values? See, are your priorities set according to God's kingdom and God's agenda? And that's really where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? You can say you value the kingdom, but do you? See, I value my car. It's not worth much, I have to say, but it is of great value to me. And to show you that I value my car, I do certain things. For example, I avoid scratching it or being in an accident as far as it is possible. I don't drive like a maniac on the road because I don't want to damage my car. I make sure that my car gets cleaned, even though it's my son who does it. I don't do that. He does that. I've taken out insurance. In case something happens to my car, I can fix it. See, doing all those things tells you something, isn't it? It tells you that actually I do value my car. What are the things that we do that show that we value the kingdom? Well, let me just give you two examples. How about this? Is the way you use your resources governed by the kingdom and kingdom values? Or is it used to promote your own kingdom and your own values? Now, when I say resources, people automatically think money, right? But what about your time? What do you do with that? Is it all about you? Is it about serving others? But serving God's kingdom? How about this? What are you planning to do with the rest of your life? I note, if you are younger, is it about choosing a career that's best going to advance you up the corporate ladder? Is it about choosing a career that'll give you the best financial security? Are you maybe just willing to turn down that job promotion or that job offer? Because it might be unhelpful in helping you prioritize the kingdom. What if you're retired? Well, you know, you're not dead yet, right? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you going to use that time to serve God in his kingdom? Or is it going to be leisure and pleasure, what you've saved up for your entire life? Friends, are you willing to give it all up for the sake of the kingdom? Are you willing to put it all on the line? Jesus says that his kingdom is valuable. Jesus says it's going to cost you everything you own. The only question is this: are you willing to pay the price? And some of you might be thinking, well, that's a bit radical. But can I say that's not radical? That's normal Christianity. That's what it should look like. That's what a disciple of Jesus looks like. That's what being a Christian is. Someone who says that Jesus and his kingdom is the most important thing in this world. Even more important than those family bonds or the big bank balance. Second thing Jesus tells us, we have a look at the next parable, is that God's kingdom is worth more than everything you own. It's not only going to cost you everything you own, it's also worth more than everything you own. Have a look at verse 45. He goes on, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So this parable is slightly different to the previous one. Yes, I know when you read it at first glance, it looks exactly the same, doesn't it? But it's not. I wonder if you notice what the major difference between the two parables are. You notice with the parable of the hidden treasure, we have a guy just randomly digging in a field. In this one, it's different. With the merchant, we have someone who's actually searching and looking for pearls. That is different. He is searching and finds this pearl of great value. And when he finds it, well, he sells everything he has to gain the one pearl of greatest value. So in both cases, yes, we have men selling everything they own to get the one thing of great value. That is the kingdom of heaven. But from this parable, we learn something a little different. From this parable, we learn that God's kingdom is worth more than our religious heritage. It's worth more than our religious heritage. So the fine pearl in the parable, obviously, it's the kingdom of heaven. One can only assume from the context that the other pearls that this guy might have found and collected over the years are other kinds of religions or traditions or belief systems. See, this parable speaks to the person who is searching. This parable speaks to the person who is searching for God. And as he searches, he comes across all sorts of things, all sorts of pearls of religion that he buys and collects over the years. Now, it could be that they are religious traditions. It could be a religious heritage. After all, you know, the Jews had a great religious heritage, didn't they? But they are also searching. They are also waiting. Remember, it's first century. They are waiting for the Messiah to come who would save them. Now, Jesus has appeared on the scene. He has arrived. There's no need to search anymore. Because once Jesus arrived, the kingdom of God had arrived. And once they recognize that, they must give up everything else, all the other pearls that they may have collected. See, they must surrender all to get their hands on that one pearl of greatest value. Now, you might be visiting because you actually want to be here and you are searching for God. And over the years, maybe you've collected many, many pearls, the pearls of religion. You might have your traditions. You might have your thoughts on certain issues. You might have very strong opinions on how your minister should dress when he preaches. I don't know. Maybe you think that as long as you've been baptized or confirmed, well, then you're safe. Maybe you look to obedience to the law, as long as I try and keep the Ten Commandments, I'm okay. That's going to stand me in good stead. Friends, the scriptures are clear that it is only through Jesus and the forgiveness found that is found in his finished work on the cross that you can gain the kingdom of heaven. There's no other way to get it. If we want the finest pearl of greatest value, we have to get rid of the other pearls. See, outside of Jesus, there is no other way. And if you believe that all religions serve the same God, then can I say, you have not understood the gospel. If you believe that all roads lead to the same God, then you don't believe what Jesus says when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Now, that might not be you this morning. You might not believe that all roads lead to the same God. Maybe you're slightly different. Maybe you've blended what you believe. You've taken a bit from here, taken a bit from there, made a religion that suits you. Maybe you've been raised a certain way which has influenced your belief system. So after I became a Christian, I shared the message of the kingdom with my father. I told him that he needed to be born again, because that's what John's gospel says, right? You must be born again. He said to me that, oh, I'm talking nonsense. Those were his exact words to me. He said to me that he never heard of such a thing. He said to me, the Bible I have must have been changed because he would know better. After all, he grew up in a Roman Catholic boarding school. He served as an altar boy and he took mass regularly. See, my dad had a history with a certain belief and tradition. He had collected all those pearls over the years, and when he heard about the kingdom of heaven, he would not give up all the other pearls that he had collected over the years. Sadly, my dad died with all of those pearls of his, but he did not possess the pearl of greatest value. He saw it, didn't recognize its worth. Still a great source of pain for me today. Friends, if you're not a member of God's kingdom, don't make the same mistake. See, Jesus is not saying in these parables that you can buy your way into the kingdom. That's not true. What he is teaching us in these parables is that the kingdom of heaven is valuable. It is more valuable than anything else in this world. But in order to get it, in order to gain access into this kingdom, you got to leave everything else behind. You can't take anything else with you. You have to give up everything. The only question is, will you do it? See, if you're not yet part of this kingdom, will you abandon everything for the sake of it? Because it is valuable. And if you are part of God's kingdom, remember, friends, this is the most valuable thing you could ever have. Treasure the kingdom of heaven. Let your life be governed by its values. And thank God daily that you're a part of it. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you once again for this treasure that is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for giving us Jesus to die and rise again so that we can be part of your kingdom. Thank you for giving us the wisdom and the eyes of faith so that we could recognize its value. Father, we do want to pray for those who are still holding on to all the other pearls that they may have. We pray that you would help them see that your kingdom is the finest pearl they could have and that they need to let go of all the other pearls. We also want to pray for those who have stumbled across the kingdom here this morning. Please would you move their hearts and help them to trust in you. Father, we also want to pray for ourselves. Please would you help us never to forget the value of your kingdom. And help us to now live in such a way that shows the world that we value your kingdom above the kingdoms of this world. Help us remain faithful to you, no matter the cost, and bring us to eternal life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.